And we're going to help you keep it running, the help we get from the birthday boy. I was going to start singing, but I did that already out in the lobby. And you said, you better do it on the air. And I thought, no.
Better not.
We want the listeners to hang around. Happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive is celebrating today. We're celebrating with him. However, you're going to work after this.
Well, it's a principle. It's just another day, you know.
It's just another day.
In a lot of ways, I don't like to make too big a deal of it because... it's just another day.
It really is, but we wish you the best.
And at this age, you kind of don't...
don't remind me, right?
Don't remind me.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to see Dan, and he has helped us out here for about 20 years or so or more on CCO. If you have any car care issue, he's the guy you want to chat with. He is an ASC certified technician, like a ninth degree black belt or whatever you guys go through?
Yeah, it's called a master certified technician. And what that means is that in the certification process, I think there's eight different areas that you can be tested in and be proven in. And for example, brakes is one, and automatic transmission is one, engine overhaul is one, and so on.
Okay.
Heating and air conditioning.
Sure.
There's eight of them. And then there is an advanced level engine performance test that gets way more into all of the computer stuff. And they call that the L1. And in the ASE testing, there's literally dozens of different things you can be tested in because you can start getting into mid-sized trucks. You can get into semi-trucks. You can get into school buses.
Oh, wow.
There's a whole bunch of different areas that you can be tested in and proven in, but in the car business, of course, we just have the 8 or with the L1, the 9.
What I would imagine with the advent of hybrid vehicles and electric vehicles, that's a whole new area to study.
That's one of the ones that I'm counting, actually. That's new. That's new that has just come on air. And yeah, the electric vehicles are looks like they're here to stay.
Yep, I think you're right.
It seems to me like it's going to be the real deal.
All right. Well, Dan is a real deal. And if you have a car care question, and before you bring your vehicle into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, you want to be armed with more information than you maybe did not have. And he knows what he's talking about. Give us a call or send a text. The phone number, and there's one line open at 651-989-9226. Text, and we're getting those too, 81807. Bill is calling from Minneapolis with a question. Good morning, Bill.
Dan, happy 30th birthday. Question for you. I got a 1998 Cavalier two-door. The anti-lock brake light system came on. Regular brakes are fine. Is it okay and safe to still drive? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
It is still safe to drive. Anytime there's an error in your anti-lock brake system, the safest thing that the car can do is shut the system off. And that's what's happened when the light is on. And so your conventional brakes are just the same. If you get into a skid or start sliding on snow, you'll have to go back to what we were all taught to pump the brakes.
Yep.
Because, of course, when you have your foot on the brake, you have no ability to steer. So you have to apply the brakes, release them. And what anti-lock brake does is automatically do that for you, and it's very fast. You can't do it as efficiently
as quickly.
The anti-lock brake system. But in the meantime, while that light is on, your anti-lock brake system is disabled, but the vehicle, the braking process is still just fine. It'll be safe.
I know you don't, as a rule, recommend brand names or things like that, but this texter just said this. Good morning. I'm looking at a Honda Ridgeline pickup, 2008 to 2011, are they pretty reliable overall? I don't even know if you can comment on that.
No, yeah, great choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very, very much so.
So no major issues.
No major issues.
Oh, that's good.
And I would tell you, if we see, you know, there are some models on Earth that just are bad ideas. And
you see them.
We see them. And so there are a few models that I would not recommend. But that's not one. That's a great one.
Very good. Kathleen is calling from White Bear with a question. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. I have a 2011 Honda Civic, and I'm in the process of replacing the battery in it. And I was wondering if I should go to the dealer or just do aftermarket kind of auto parts store.
It's not a big deal. Any trained technician can do it. In fact, you could do it yourself or have a friend or a family member do it for you. The only thing that we do when we do it as professionals is we hook up a secondary battery pack to the vehicle so that when we're changing the battery, you don't lose all the information, all your presets, your memory seat, your radio, and all that sort of stuff.
You don't have to reset all that.
You don't have to, and we only do it as a convenience. It's
sure.
Not that it hurts anything.
Okay. Where do you hook that accessory, that extra battery up?
Usually, well, it's just wires that we use off of a jump pack, but usually there's a fuse box out under the hood.
Okay.
That comes right off the battery. That's where you get the power side.
Okay.
And then the ground side, of course, you just find a bare bolt somewhere,
sure,
to clamp onto that, and then you have battery backup so that when you change the battery, you don't lose everything.
Otherwise, if you don't have that extra, that backup, you just have to reset everything.
Doesn't hurt anything.
Okay,
it's
well,
just fine
to
too, but right. It's just a little more work to have to reset all that stuff.
There you go, Kathleen. Something to do today on a Saturday. All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more phone calls and text messages. I see a line open. If you want to use it, 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. If you have a question for Dan Burns from Lloyd's, give us a call, 651-989-9226. A text screen is available, too, at 81807. We're going to get back to the phones, Dan. But for those folks that don't know where Lloyd's Automotive is, tell us.
Well, they should know where it is.
You bet.
They, huh?
After all these years.
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria, right down the block from the Lexington restaurant.
Yes.
That you and I are going to go to.
That's
soon.
Right.
And they just opened up their patio. So there's another addition to the Lex.
Oh, nice. We got to do that before the weather turns cold.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
But were you there the other day?
You had a
special lunch. Somebody, you were kind of celebrity lunch.
Oh, yeah. I was celebrity lunched with, I was just looking up his name quickly. I can't remember his name offhand. But, yeah, I had lunch with a friend who came in and his son, Tom Marchio, wanted to give his father-in-law lunch with me for his birthday present.
How about that?
So I cooperated, and it was delightful.
Did you talk cars?
We did, yeah.
All right.
He's a big car guy. Yeah, it was fun. So
we had
a great time.
Well,
so
good.
Showed him around the shop.
That was a nice gift.
That was a nice gift.
Very good.
Anyway, we also have a new website that you can find us at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call. Nick will be there this morning, 651-228-1316.
Excellent. Bill and Henriette is on the line. Thanks, Bill, for waiting. What is your question for Dan?
Hey, good morning, Denny and Dan. Happy birthday, Dan.
Thank you.
Actually, I have two questions for you regarding oil changes on a 2014 Focus. I'm real religious about changing my oil. However, I've let it go a little bit this month, time period. I've got about 8,000 miles on it since my last oil change, and it should be changed at 5,000. Do you think I might have hurt the engine?
Well,
I mean, is it terribly bad to let it go that long?
No. People do that all the time. It's
okay.
Get on it now. Get it done today, and you'll be just fine.
Second question is, one thing bad about I have trouble with this car is you've got to drop a panel down to get to the oil filter and oil plug. Do I really have to put that panel back on? Can I just leave it off?
Well, it's for two things. It's air deflection and it's noise and water deflection and stuff like that. It keeps the water from spraying up, when you're driving down the highway and it's raining and so forth. So best if you keep it on. However, there are lots of cars out there where people have bashed over curbs and whatever and knocked them off, and they're driving around just fine without them.
Yeah.
So I'm old-fashioned. It was designed with it, so I like it on there. But if you can't put it on there or you don't want to anymore, I'm sure that's just fine,
too.
That's
okay, too.
Yep.
All right, very good, Bill. Debbie is calling from East Bethel. Debbie, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yes, I have a 2002 Dodge Caravan, and I left the key on the auxiliary, and the battery went dead. the instrument lights come on, but the overhead light, you know, the interior lights do not. Is there a...
Oh, I think she's listening to the radio. Did you get that?
I don't know if there is a circuit breaker or what that the lights did. Don't come on. They always did before.
Before the battery went dead. Well, first of all, check and be sure that something hasn't changed with the switches in the car, because if you have it switched incorrectly, that'll keep the light from coming on when the door is open. So check that first. If that's not it, then not a circuit breaker, but yes, there certainly would be a fuse for the interior lights. So that would be the next thing to check. But sometimes when you disconnect the battery, strange things happen.
Or
you didn't disconnect the battery, but if it went completely dead, strange things happen. So another thing, if none of that works, that you might just try is disconnect the battery and reattach the battery and see if everything comes back to life.
Okay.
Sometimes that resets the
body.
Kind
of reboot, huh?
Well, it resets the body module, which all the lighting is part of. And sometimes that makes a difference, too.
So try those, Deb.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Al is calling from Plymouth with a question. Then we'll get some text messages. Hi, Al.
Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a 2002 Nissan Pathfinder. The heater and fan on the heater is on wide open. It has four positions to turn it way high or way low.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't shut that off. It's on high right now. I can't shut it off.
Well, if you can't control the speeds, usually that's... But off would still work. But if you can't control the speeds, it's usually the blower motor resistor. But it's unusual for the off position not to work. So I'm not quite sure about that. Obviously, there's some sort of control in it, a switch or something like that. But if it won't shut off at all, I'm worried that maybe a switch or some wiring is melted down and has crossed over. So that's probably something that you should bring in and get checked pretty quickly, because...
More detail. Yeah.
Well, and it might be a safety issue.
Ooh,
if something's melting... and if wiring is melted, then that can be a fire issue.
So. You like those electronic detective stories, don't you?
I do.
Yeah,
that's kind of my thing. I'm kind of a detective that way, and of course I've been doing it for so long, I've gotten pretty good at it. But anyway, whenever wiring can scare me just a little bit, because if you short a wire to ground, it will get hot, and it can get hot enough to start a fire.
Okay,
so have that checked.
Very good, Dennis. Do we need to take a break? I think we do. We've got folks on the line. We're going to get to texters as well, so stay with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with the birthday boy, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we're putting you back to work here. We have callers and texters. I want to answer as many, if not all, of their questions. Mike is calling from Minnetonka. Mike, go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at buying our son an F-150 from like 2006 to 2010, and I keep seeing this word cam phaser pop up in the ads and cam phaser lockouts. Is that something that's chronic to these engines, and is it a maintenance issue, and is there any way you could help me maybe weed through some bad ones? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, they have those phasers. They have a tick in the engine, and I've seen them go forever. I mean, that, you know, the phasers get loose, and first of all, what the phaser is it's part of the valve timing, and it's done with I think it's done with oil pressure on that particular vehicle. But at any rate, those phasers get loose, and at idle, they'll rattle a little bit, and like I say, I've seen them last like that forever. So that's when you're buying a vehicle, if you're worried about it and you don't want that, that's what you would listen for. If the engine sounds nice and quiet at idle, then usually the phasers are working just fine. Certainly bring any vehicle that you are interested in for a professional inspection. But to answer your question, yes, that they are problematic, quite common, but not serious.
Oh, okay.
So it wouldn't be a deal breaker.
So you ran into a familiar name the other day.
Yeah, Jerry Piazza.
Jerry Piazza, sure.
I didn't remember it because I'm old, but I looked it up.
Piazza family, a lot of connections to CCO.
Restaurants and stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
So actually, he's a bigger celebrity than I am, although that wasn't the purpose of the lunch.
Well, next time you talk to him, say hi.
I will. Thank
you. Good deal. Texter says this, and we'll get back to the phones. Hello, 2007 Ram, 110,000 miles. 4,000 on the front brakes, has a slight grind when slowing or left turn. Any ideas?
You know, noises are tough for me to diagnose over the radio, aren't
sure
they?
But yeah.
My answer to you would be that my shop, or probably any shop, would be glad to go for a ride with you, take a listen to it, and then give you a recommendation on, you know, if it's no big deal or if it's something that needs some attention. And I think then you could make a decision from that. But I think you should go have a professional take a ride with you and make sure that it's safe.
Okay, good idea. Because you're right. It's tough to analyze that. Over. You haven't heard it yourself. Texter says this, my brake light, I assume ABS maybe, came on just very briefly 2 times in the last 2 weeks. Is it safe to drive? I have an appointment on Wednesday. It's a 2008 Altima.
You know, the first thing to check, if your brake light is flashing like that, is the brake fluid. There's a float and a sensor in the master cylinder, and if the brake fluid's getting just a little bit low, that'll cause that light to come on. So check the brake fluid.
Brake fluid.
Add a little bit. If that solves your problem, then the next thing you need to do is take it in and have the brakes inspected, because if the brake fluid is low, usually it's low because the friction material has worn. The brake pads and shoes are wearing, and that space is being taken up with fluid. So if the fluid's low, it's low for a reason, and you should have that checked.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones. Dan in Minneapolis is on the horn. Go ahead, Dan. You're on CCO. Hello, Dan. Okay, I think Dan is listening to something else. Gene in Stillwater, what's your question, Gene?
Yes, I was wondering approximately how much and what you have to do in order to get a 2002 Grand Caravan that's been garaged for a number of years up and running again.
Well, you know, maybe very little. I'm sure that it was running fine when you put it away, and there's no reason that it shouldn't be running fine when you bring it out. I hope that the only thing I would worry about is that the fuel has gone bad if it's been too long. But I guess my recommendation would be get the battery charged up good, and then attempt to start it. Get it, see if you can get it started. If it starts and runs fine, then you're done. Check the tires and get the oil changed and the fluids all inspected and so forth. You know, take it in for normal service, but there's no reason that the vehicle sitting would cause any problem with it.
Yeah, good.
A couple things that people do run across with a vehicle that's had a long time. If it's in a damp area, maybe the brake rotors have gotten rusty or something like that. So the first several miles that you drive it, there might be some noise from the brakes and so forth. But like I say, if it ran when you put it away, it probably will run when you take it out.
So take it out, bring it in, get some regular service.
Yep.
All right. Texter says this, have a 2007 Lexus RX SUV hybrid, about 100,000 miles on it. What maintenance will it be needing? There's no problems with it, Texter says, just the usual maintenance items.
Usual maintenance items that you will find in your owner's manual. They're most often done by mileage. So check the maintenance schedules on both sides of that mileage and do what it recommends, and that's a great vehicle, and it'll keep running for a good long time. So it'll be worth the investment of keeping it up.
And another text says this, I have a 2010 Buick LaCrosse. When I put it in park, it does not recognize that it's in park. The screen keeps telling me to put it in park.
Yeah, you know, of course, there's sensors and switches in all of that, and it goes through a computer, so it could be all of that, or it's all related. So if you brought it into the shop, and you'll have to, this isn't something you're going to be able to fix, but if you bring it into the shop, I can hook up my scan tool, my computer, to your vehicle, and see what's really happening, and if the data that I'm getting doesn't match the data that you're getting, then of course, obviously, we know that there's a problem, and from that information, we can decide where to go with it. But you're going to need to get some help on that.
I just read a text about your shop. You have two different Knicks in the shop. How do you tell the difference? Maybe that's one of the Knicks having fun.
They're getting closer together, but it used to be Big Nick and Little Nick. and if you've been to Lloyd's, Big Nick is really big, and Little Nick is not as little as he used to be. But, you know, believe it or not, Little Nick started working for me when Nick Stoffel, who does a radio show for me from time to time, started working for me when he was 15. I was his first job at one of my gas stations.
So no kidding.
He feels like one of my kids, but
I bet
he's been around forever.
He knows his stuff too, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he's a graduate of Dunwoody. He went to went to become a mechanic at Dunwoody and instead, you know, went into the business side of my business, but he's well trained.
Speaking of that, when I brought in my vehicle for an oil change and stuff and other checkups, we were talking about an availability. Now I know you have great technicians there, great mechanics.
We do,
and you're looking for one.
We are.
I mean, this is a big opportunity.
Well, it's unusual. We don't have openings very often. We have one now. Unfortunately, one of our great young guys is moving to Oklahoma with his wife, who got placed in a big job down there. So he's leaving for a good reason. I guess I would follow my wife too.
Sure.
Makes us sad, but that's the way it goes. So it gives us an opportunity to fill that position. So if you know somebody or if you're a mechanic listening and you're looking to upgrade, I don't think you can do any better
than
Lloyd's.
But you look for talented people too.
We look for talented people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be a slow, careful hire, but that's just the way we do things. But yeah, it's an opportunity.
Do we just call you guys?
Yeah, just give us a call. Give Nick a call. He would be in charge of it. 651-228-1316.
All right. Very good. For somebody.
Yeah. It will be good for somebody.
Great gig. Yeah. My husband believes in driving our 2015 Highlander below 0 miles left on the tank. Does this harm anything, although there is some gas left?
Yeah, no. The fuel pump is actually bathed in a device inside there, so you won't hurt it.
You won't dry it out.
It's silly. Don't do that, because you're going to run out of gas someday. But no, it does not hurt. It does not hurt the vehicle at all. It's just fine.
Now, when I brought the vehicle in, I was wondering whether my, if you call it Freon, whatever that refrigerant is in the car, it wasn't cooling like I thought it was.
Right.
But you hooked it up. Now, what did you hook that up to? Explain that
procedure. First of all, did it fix it?
It seemed to fix it. Yeah, especially since we've had hotter weather.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, we hook up to a machine. And we take all of the gas that's in your car out. We measure it.
Gas meaning the
refrigerant.
Refrigerant.
Yeah. We measure it, see if it's the appropriate amount. Yours was a little bit low. And filter it, clean it.
Oh.
And then put it back and take all the moisture out of it, which hurts the production of it. Clean it, put it back in to the proper level, and send you on your way, and in your case, it worked. And yours was not bad. It's not like it was
just a little
severe, but you just felt like it could be colder, and it sounds like it worked. So good.
Well, you're going to work on your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Many happy returns of the day, Dan Burns. How do we get in touch with you guys if they want to come over and maybe bribe you for lunch?
Give Nick a call, 651-228-1316, or just come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
You know who's going to be sitting in for me next week while you're here? Susie Jones.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She's filling in while I'm on another Good Neighbor tour.
Well, she's a good friend, too.
Yeah, she is, too. You've talked with her many times.
Yeah.
So I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Dan Burns.